Today on VFN TV, Saudi Arabia's role in spreading terrorism. We're going to be talking about 58 facts regarding the economy in 2015. And we're also going to be talking about social media and what's the end game and what are they doing with all this information. All of this happening and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil. Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. Well, we're so excited that you're with us here today. We have so much to discuss on today's program. We're going to be discussing 58, believe it or not, 58 facts regarding the economy and money in regards to 2015, really the economy and what has been happening. You know, we've been talking about Jonathan Cohn-Shmita's word and the prophetic words that God has shared with us on this program and many others about a coming collapse. Well, we're going to be sharing some stats and some facts about what the economy is doing and where we are headed and what we can do about it. We're also going to be discussing a recent message that Mark Cuban, billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks, shared regarding social media and where he sees this technology trending and some of the things that he has in development that's going to help in all this data that's being uploaded from 7 billion people on the face of the world is using Facebook. Well, it's not just Facebook. It's multi, internet sources and applications that people are just uploading tons of information. We're going to share some wisdom in regards to that. But before we do, we want to turn our attention to what's happening in Saudi Arabia. If you've been watching any of our programs as of recent, we've been talking about this new line in the sand that's been drawn between Iran and Saudi Arabia. That line has gotten deeper and deeper, and you're starting to see this not in a new emergence of a war, but some are saying the deepening of World War III. Well, it seems that with these crushing oil prices, Saudi Arabia, a lot of things are starting to come to surface, and they're starting to deal with some issues and some things that they've been doing for quite a while, namely their role in spreading terror. Now, this is really interesting. I want you to watch this report as we get some more information regarding how Saudi Arabia has been spreading terror throughout the world. Watch this.
News that the suspect in the San Bernardino attack recently visited Saudi Arabia is raising questions about that country's role in supporting radical Islam around the world. CBN News terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck joins us now for more. Eric, how does Saudi Arabia support the spread of radical Islam?
Well, George, this has been going back really for decades, where Saudi Arabia, Mecca is there, and they've kind of been the Mecca in many ways of radical Islam. A few ways, George. Number one, especially here in the West, the Saudis have spent billions and billions of those petrodollars to build radical mosques and radical Islamic schools or madrasas throughout Europe and, yes, here in the United States. The other thing the Saudis do is they have a very strict educational system, George, where in that country, young people are raised up in their schools and taught the tenets of radical Islam, taught to not take Jews and Christians for their friends, taught that jihad is a good thing. We've covered this, George, here on CBN News, these Saudi textbooks and the poison that is in them that helps radicalize people from there. So when you have all this, George, it's no surprise, for instance, that 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers hailed from Saudi Arabia, the official government-sanctioned educational program in that country is poison.
I think what our viewers don't realize is that the state religion in Saudi Arabia is this thing called Wahhabism. Is there a difference between the state religion of Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia and what ISIS or Al-Qaeda is practicing today across a large swath of the Middle East? Is there a difference?
Well, the Saudi government would tell you that there is, George, because right now they'll say, look, we're fighting Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. We're fighting ISIS. But if you look at it, basically, they believe the same things.
Yeah.
Jihad, death to the infidel, Jews and Christians are inferior, women are inferior, etc. They believe the same things. It's just that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are actually acting on those beliefs right now in a violent, very real way. But the ideological groundwork for all of the jihad we're seeing today, whether it's ISIS, Al-Qaeda, stems, number one, from the Muslim Brotherhood. They're kind of the granddaddy of them all, George, when it comes to this modern-day philosophy of restoring the caliphate and violent jihad and expansionist Islam. But look, the Saudis are right behind them in terms of spreading the ideology around the world. Their ideology, the Saudis can plead ignorance and say our hands are clean, but the ideology that their petrodollars are spreading is radicalizing people from Riyadh to Reston, Virginia. This is going on around the world thanks to what the Saudis are teaching.
And I think what makes it more complicated is the fact that, as you mentioned, Saudi Arabia is now fighting ISIS in Iraq and Syria, funding them through either money or through weapons. But at the same time, these guys, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, have also launched attacks against the House of Saud, the royal, establishment in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And so they're fighting an enemy that they are at the same time fueling and funding.
Yes, that's the interesting thing about it, George. It has come back to bite the Saudis. They've spent all this money spreading radical Islam and Wahhabism around the world. And now Al-Qaeda and ISIS are saying, hey, you're not Islamic enough. You're not radical enough. You're a tool of the West. That's the main thing, George. They see the Saudi royal family as decadent, as lavish, and as tools of the West, friends of the Americans. So the Saudis, it's coming back on them now. It really has been since 9/11. They have increasingly become a target. And don't think for a second that ISIS would not like to control Mecca and Medina, the two holiest sites in Islam. That's a dream of every radical Islamist, to seize Mecca and Medina. Right now, the Saudi government are the custodians of those cities and the guardians of the two holy mosques in Saudi Arabia. But ISIS and Iran, by the way, on the flip side of this, another avowed enemy of the Saudi government, they've got their eyes on it too.
Yeah. Now, the United States and Saudi Arabia, they're supposed to have a very, very close alliance. Help our viewers understand, why is the United States not doing, why have they not done historically more to curb the funding, the fueling, and the export of Wahhabism?
Well, since World War II, George, since the days of FDR, we've had very deep relationships, especially on the economic end, with the Saudi royal family. Of course, there's the oil factor. The Saudis have a lot of oil, a lot of petroleum that the West is somewhat reliant on. So that's a big factor, the economic factor there, the business ties there. But in the meantime, we have let this cancer grow where we've kind of looked the other way. Until 9/11, we basically looked the other way and let this cancer spread, let the Saudis do their thing, spreading Wahhabism around the world, building mosques and madrasas here in the West. And by the way, George, something our viewers should know, you cannot build a church in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You cannot build a synagogue there. You cannot bring a Bible into Saudi Arabia. You cannot wear a cross around your neck in that country. So we're letting them do as they please here in the West, but they're not reciprocating, to say the least, in their country.
Final question. Is there any way we can, as you mentioned, get rid of this cancer to stop this Islamic poison coming out of Saudi Arabia? Can the U.S. do anything?
Well, we've been pressuring the Saudis since 9/11. Again, George, not long enough. It's been going on for decades. But since 9/11, we have been pressuring them. But they make small, minimal steps. I believe women can drive now in Saudi Arabia. Welcome to 2015.
Yeah.
They make minimal steps. But those textbooks, we've covered this again on CBN News.
Yeah.
Those textbooks, they may tweak them a little bit. But the message, the totalitarian, anti-Western, anti-Semitic message remains in those textbooks in the educational system. And until they get that right, and not only the Saudis, by the way, the Palestinians, the Iranians, all of their educational systems are like this. Until that gets straightened out, we're going to continue to struggle. That's one facet in the struggle against radical Islam.
Yeah. Wow. Eric, thank you so much. I know you do.
Thank
so many. You cover so many different angles, so many aspects of terrorism, and I know our viewers are going to really appreciate your analysis on this, the similarities between ISIS and Saudi Arabia and their beliefs and their ideology. Eric Stackelbeck, out of our Washington, D.C. bureau, sir, thank you so much for your analysis.
Thank you, George. Anytime.
The question we've got to ask now is, Saudi Arabia's chickens coming home to roost? Here we have oil selling at record lows, and they're the number one producer and exporter of oil. Think about this. And now, you know, their entire country is subsidized. 31 million people live in Saudi Arabia, and of the 31 million, only 5 million are actually employed. That means that the rest of the country, 90%+ of them, are all being taken care of by the government. And so now, because their sales are so low in terms of oil exports, they're going to have to start cutting back their subsidies. And they just raised their gasoline that they're charging their own citizens by 50%. And when the Arab Spring was happening, the royal family was greatly concerned that they were going to spill on over. And so they even increased more of their subsidies. Well, now they have a deficit. And the only way to cut back that all of this debt now that they're inquiring is to take away the subsidies. Are we going to see an Arab Spring emerge in Saudi Arabia right when Iran is emerging and coming out of these sanctions that were placed upon them? And just they're coming out of it, which means they're going to be producing oil and exporting it at a greater rate. We got to keep our eyes on the Middle East. We got to keep our eyes and prayers upon Israel, because things are rapidly developing and they're changing day by day. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about 58 facts regarding the economy in 2015. You don't want to miss it. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous: specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then Green Room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the Green Room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says: when you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow, 58 facts, Steve. Believe it or not, 58 facts. These were all compiled by Michael Snyder. But you know, we've been talking on this program for quite a while. Some of the prophetic words that God has shared with us, given us in night visions, regarding a collapse in the economy of some sort. I mean, we just know that it's going to go down. What it looks like, and what, you know, we really don't have those type of details. But God's spoken these things to other people as well. I mean, you know, the Shemitah with Jonathan Kahn and Vic Joyner and others. But we're getting to that point where it's, you know, as one person said, it's getting scarier and scarier regarding things that are happening. And we're not supposed to be scared, right? We're operate under the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and we can choose to you know, flourish in God's economy. And God has an economy. But I mean, if you're not participating in God's economy, then you maybe you need to be scared, you know. But you can repent. But we're going to be sharing, in fact, CNN Money, Steve, just put out five countries with the worst economies, starting with Argentina. They're down 34% against the dollar. Mm-hmm. And remember, we've talked about a strategy that North Korea, Russia, and China, prophetically, and it seems it's they already are implementing to devalue the American dollar. But we're seeing these countries right now, it's still pretty strong. But Argentina, 34% down.
Well,
huge.
It's amazing that you're saying that very reality of what's going on, because as we're talking about the oil and we're talking about what's going on globally, it's because the whole world, you know, we've talked about it before on this program, is that if they want to buy oil, they have to basically transfer their currency to American currency in order to purchase oil. So people are tired of having to base their currency, their economy, off of the American dollar. And you're seeing this now, how so many currencies are crumbling.
They're crumbling. They're going down. Brazil down 33%. Mm-hmm. The South African rand is down 26%. Turkey, the Turkish lira, mm-hmm. I believe, it's down 20%. And the Russian ruble is down 17%. Remember that I think it was 50% of Russia's budget, 50% of their budget was based upon oil selling at $100 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
It's now under $40 a barrel. So, you know, when these nations don't have resources, believe me, they're going to get resources. They're going to do all kinds of things to get it, and not to mention war. But Michael Snyder has put together 58 facts. We are not going to be discussing all 58, but we do want to share some of them. We want to talk about some of them, as they're really just, I mean, startling facts as regards to what is happening. Steve, the first thing he says is that these days, most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and at this point, 62% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings account, and 21% of all Americans do not have a savings account at all.
Mm.
Think about that.
Wow.
62% have less than $1,000, and 21% have no savings at all in their bank or mm-hmm. anywhere else.
Yeah. You know, when you think about this, and you're hearing, when you look at our culture right now, as it pairs, compare the Great Depression, there was such an awareness of savings, where now it's that, you know, you only live once, live for the day, just incur debt, you know.
Someone just told me that yesterday. So they didn't want to spend it all.
And it's like the no interest payments, live now, get the luxuries and lavish. And it's like you're seeing that massive impact upon
Here's
the
second one. The lack of savings is especially dramatic when you look at the Americans under the age of 55 now. Incredibly, fewer than 10% of all millennials and only 16% of the Generation X have $10,000 or more saved up. This is supposed to be a generation that should have resources and should have things saved up, and certainly passed down from the greatest generation, the baby boomers, certainly have passed down some of that wealth. But for some reason, Generation X does not have any of it. Now, here's number three. It's been estimated that 43% of all American households spend more money than they make each month.
43%.
43% of all American households spend more money than they make each month, which means
credit cards.
That they're just not living paycheck to paycheck, but they're living on credit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever remember seeing that commercial. There was a man riding on a lawnmower. I think it was for Lending Tree or something. He's riding on a lawnmower and he says,
got all these nice things.
We have houses, we have cars, we have two boats, we have gone on vacations, and starts listing all these things. And he says, and how do I afford this? He goes, I'm up to debt in my eyeballs, you know? And this is what we've become now, a debtor nation. And we have a lot of folks in our country that just enormous amount of debt. And when you break that down even some more, it says for the first time, middle-class Americans now make up a minority of the population. But back in 1971, 60% of all Americans lived in middle-class households. So we see that the economy is shrinking over and over a period of time. This is according to the Pew Research Center. They also found that the median wealth for middle-class household dropped by an astounding 28% from 2001 to 2013. Now, remember that we had the financial crisis back in end of 2007, beginning of 2008. But between 2001 and 2013, 28% of the middle-class's wealth is completely evaporated.
Wow.
Here's another one. There are still, Steve, still 900,000 fewer middle-class jobs in America than they were when the last recession began. But our population has gotten significantly larger than that time. 900,000 less jobs, and it's only been 8 years. 800,000 jobs. 900,000 jobs.
We've talked about it before, where you've had, I think it was the Cloward Pivot strategy, where they're trying to basically overload the system. And when they tried to do it before, they found out that the fact that there were too many people in the middle class,
yeah,
that it was too much of a stable class, that they just couldn't do it. And when you're seeing with these statistics, is like,
eroding it
quickly.
Yeah. According to the Social Security Administration, 51% of all American workers make less than $30,000. 51%. Here's another interesting one. A recent nationwide survey discovered that 48% of U.S. adults under the age of 30 believe that the American dream is dead. 48%.
Wow.
Believe that the American dream is dead. And you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as believers, we need to be looking at God's dream. You know,
yeah,
we're making so much this life, this world. We're trying to be too comfortable here. And the idea is that, you know what? We don't need to be comfortable here. We are just passing through. That as believers, we're dual citizens. We're citizens of heaven.
Yeah.
And we're citizens here in America. If you live in America, if you live in another country, you're a citizen of that country. But we're just passing through. And I think so many times we fall into a temptation to try to feel so comfortable here that we don't spend our resources, our time, our energy, our skill sets, our talents,
yeah,
for the kingdom that we're about to inherit. You know, we're taking all this time to do it here. Listen, we are going to take a momentary break. When we come back, we're going to continue to share a little bit more of these interesting statistics, as well as, hey, what's the end game? What do we need to do as believers? Because we're supposed to be in, but not of it. But we're going to talk more about that when we get back. But before we do, I do want to talk to you about partnering. We have an opportunity for you to become a VFN-TV partner. You can financially partner for any amount. And by doing so, you get special offers that are available to you, and you can share them, watch them. But for any amount, they're yours. You can be a VFN-TV partner today. I want you to watch this. I want to share with you about our special offer 2000. You want to get this special offer just for partnering with VFN-TV for any amount. It's yours. We want to get it to you. And it's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the Francis president, Francois Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war, and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information, one of which is this a prelude to the mark of the beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed, and they want to implement for 7 billion people, where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up as to what is happening right now. You want to get this message. You want to partner. And it's through your partnership and our sponsors that we're able to continue to do what we're doing, keeping the conversation light. You become a partner at VFN-TV. Go to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can do it by mail. And you want to mail VFN-TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, and you can always feel free to call at 844-408-3688. Again, that number is 844-408-3688. Partner today.
Thank you for watching VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light and focused on Israel.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm so mad at you.
Well, this is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and if you've said those kind of words, then listen to conflict resolution expert Ken Sandy. He suggests you have a little talk with yourself.
If you can develop the habit of detecting anger early on and sort of step back from it, say, you know, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? Talking to yourself, bringing actually the reasoning capacity God's given to us to bear is a huge help in dealing with anger. The other common one is to find something else to do for just a little while to get your mind off of it. And when you do come back to it, it's amazing how much that the intensity of that emotional feeling will drop down, again, giving us the ability to deal with it rationally.
Take a deep breath and be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. For more trusted relationship wisdom from Ken Sandy, tune in right now to FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today, you may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I want to continue with this. Steve, listen to this one here. For each of the past 6 years, more businesses have closed in the United States than have opened. Listen to this. Prior to 2008, this had never happened before in U.S. history. Think about this. For the past 6 years, more businesses have closed in the United States than have opened since prior to 2008. And you think about it, small businesses are the backbone of our nation, you know, because they employ so many people. Most people today are employed by small businesses, right, not big corporations. But thank God that we have a country where a small business owner can flourish and you can actually one day become a large business like Apple. Mm-hmm. When you think about what Apple has been able to do in the last 8 years, understand that the first iPhone was introduced 8 years ago. And with this simple technology,
totally
it didn't just, didn't just change the phone. It actually changed our whole lifestyle. The way you talk on the phone, the way you listen to music, the way you watch movies,
the
way you interact, the way you shop.
Yeah.
I mean, with all these apps and all these developments. But think about it. That was a business that started out in a garage, right? With Steve Jobs started with a friend in the garage. It actually grew into something that was monstrous. In fact, they say that Apple is worth more than all of Russia's stock market combined, just Apple alone. And so it goes to show you that, wow, what trajectory, where are we? It says this, if you believe it or not, the 20 wealthiest people in this country now have more money than the poorest 152 million Americans. And so you're seeing that there's this disparity of wealth. The wealth is shrinking. It's going away. And are we on the verge of a tipping point? And we got to start asking the question, why is this happening? And for us as believers, think about this. According to George Barna, 97% of the church is not even tithing. They're robbing from God. Only 3% of the church is actually tithing, which means they're giving honor to the Lord. Listen, we want to make sure that we're participating in God's economy because no matter what's happening in the world, if you are faithful, so if I know anything, right, mm-hmm. and I don't know much, but if you're faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. It's true. It's his word. It's proof. He does it. And so you don't want to be a robber of God. Listen, if you rob God, Book of Malachi tells us that you're under a curse. You don't want to be under a curse. You want to live under open heaven. And one of the ways is by giving to the Lord what belongs to God. I want to bring back to you a Connect the Dots segment in which we talked about this program. We entitled it, Have You Made Money Your God? Think about it. This is a question to ask yourself, because Jesus clearly told us you can't serve God and money. You can't serve them both. You got to choose. And what does Jesus have to say about money? Watch this.
God says, you know, honor me this and this. Give me the first fruits and see that I won't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You see, it's not your tool, your techniques and your skills. It's not your skills that are making things happen. God's blessing your skills and blessing the work of your hands. And so he's the one that gives man the ability to get wealth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not only just, you know, honoring God is what he said do. It's also understanding that's why we're saying to God, I acknowledge that you're the one who provides for me. So it's more than just some sort of, it definitely ain't a tip, and it's not just being a good son versus a bad son. It's understanding that you're honoring God the context of that. He says, if I am your father, where is my honor? Honor? What are you talking about? Why are you robbing me? Robbing you? Why are we robbing you? That's what he said. This is God's conversation with his people. He says, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. And the reason for this now, the consequence of this is now your whole nation is under a curse.
Yeah.
So, don't let anybody convince you and think, you know, God's wisdom frustrates the intellect of the intelligence. So the intelligence of the intellect. So understand that they don't have to figure this out. You just have to know by faith that it's God that created the universe. And it is God who gives the ability to get wealth. And the reason why you have is because you're being faithful or God's just being merciful. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's right.
It's not because you figured it all out, because God can actually touch us where we couldn't even tie our shoes.
That's right.
And I say this because according to George Barna, 97% of regular church attenders, according to Barna Group, it says that they don't honor God in tithes and offerings. But how many people? I mean, this is not what we're even talking about. This is what we're talking about. How many people are calling this man up, talking about their money, and they're calling Susan, whoever, and talking about how to do my money and my money. It was like, Jiminy crickets, but 80% of these guys, according to Barna Group, are not even picking up their Bibles at all. And 81% not even picking up their Bibles at all. And out of the 19% that is picking it up, they're not reading it to find out what God says about money. Only 3% are. And it's like, what are we doing? And why is money so relevant? This is what Jesus said. He said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, I believe it's 6, you cannot serve God and money. Mm-hmm. And so you got, when your whole conversation is about money and it's not about God, money's your God. What do you do with that? You repent and say, dear Lord, I made what you gave me my God, instead of acknowledging that you are God and you're the one that entrusted me with this. And I'm going to make you God. Forgive me for the idolatry in my life. Forgive me for making money God. And he says, this is how you know that if you made money your God, because you're going to be divided between the two. You're going to be miserable in both places. Mm-hmm. You know, and if anybody ever tells you why they're in the presence of God and why the word of God's going forth and worship's going forth, they're looking at their watch, finding out, I got to go to work. You've made money your God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? I mean, think about that. In the presence of God, imagine being in the throne room of God. The angels are singing, you know, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And you're not joining in, first of all. Secondly, your mind is somewhere it shouldn't be, because he knows the thoughts that are on our mind. And finally, you actually take your eyes and look down at your watch to see that you need to go to a job and make money, which he blesses the work of your hands. I mean, how offensive is that? And then 97% to rob him? This is why the whole nation is under a curse, he said in Malachi.
All the while being in a delusional state, thinking that we can pray to a God to enter a prayer while at the same time you're robbing him.
Right.
Mom, how does that work? How does that work?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would just say God's right.
Let every man be a liar and God be the truth.
That's right.
And trust God with your finances. By the way, trust him while you can with your finances. This is what Jesus said. There was this particular man that he found out he was going to be fired. He wasn't going to have a job. His boss was mad at him. And when he found this out, he was a person that was over the accounts, over the boss's store. And so people would come that he gave product to, and he would send them invoices or bills, and they would come and they would pay him. They would come and they would pay him. And in that, when he found out he was going to be fired, he started doing things like, this is what Jesus said. I'm just saying what Jesus said. And so, and he's telling the story about it. And so he says, man, this guy got really worried. He says, I'm too old, too proud to dig, you know, too proud to do this manual labor and too old to dig or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I need to, when this thing is over, you know, I want to be at least invited in people's homes. I want to have a good relationship.
Right.
And isn't it amazing how many people there that love money and love their job don't love people? It's like optional. Relationships are optional because you got your job, your relationships with your job and your money. You say more things about your work coworkers than you do your co-family. And so in that context, this is Jesus talking about it. So this man finds out he's going to be fired. And so this guy starts bringing people in, and he tells somebody, this first guy says, like, I'm not using some figures here. This, you can go check the figures out. We'll have the verse for you. Okay, you owe my boss $1,000. I'm going to cut it in half. All you owe, you're going to be, give me $500 and it's paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the guy's like, writing a check out, whatever, a check, some kronas or some shekels. And so then, another guy comes in, he cuts his bill down, and he's doing all this kind of stuff. And so you're thinking, wow, Jesus, this sounds like a lot of business, folks. This sounds good. But he ends the story with a guy that's complimenting this guy to say he was a shrewd businessman. He understood the time. He understood what was going on. Because at least in the end, and there's about to be an end of finances, I believe, as we know it. And in the end, that he said, at least I'd be invited into someone's home. And there's so many people today that they made God their money, their job their money. You haven't built any relationships whatsoever. You're part of the 97% that's been robbing God. And you're going to knock on somebody's door professing to be a believer. And they're going to say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to know. You know, are you sure? Can we trust you? Are you part of that whole thing? And he said, but if you would have used money to build relationships, use money to the money that God's given you, help people with it. Because you never know how long you'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Paul said. I'm not taking from you so you don't have. I'm taking the offering from you so I can give to others that don't have. So when you don't have, then these guys that you loan to now, they'll help you. And so your whole life should be helping folks. Just helping them. When God looks at your check register and looks at your how you handled your finances, and when NSA finds out what you're doing, they should be going like, hey, this guy loves God. He gives only 50% of his income towards other people and helping people out or whatever it is. But in the end, by the way, whatever we did with money is truly what we did with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God is our God and money's not our God, guess what we did with money? We did just like this shrewd young manager. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus commended him. He commended him for doing this because he was a shrewd manager. He used the money that he had at the time and the position and the power he had at the time to love on folks and give people breaks and to help people out. And this stuff about, you know, capitalism's done a lot for a lot of people, but if it ever takes away this component, then it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the component is, as Christians, we are loyal to the kingdom of God, even if it's not even capitalism in our future, because the capital for us is in heaven, the throne room of God. And this is what Jesus said to do. So we need to take care of those who have needs. We need to be known for helping others out. And understand, just like this man knew his job was about to end, a lot of things are about to shift in America. So while you have something, use it for others, not just.
God has called us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. That's why it's called currency. It needs to go through you. And I have found, Steve, that God doesn't mind getting it to you if he can get it through you. And that's what we need to understand. We understand that wealth is a resource, not for us to consume, but for us to be able to share and to give and to plant and to sow into the lives of others.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take any of this stuff with you, just in case you were wondering. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. All this stuff stays here. But what you can take with you are souls. And what would happen if we took some of these resources instead of spending it on ourselves?
And just started giving others.
Giving others and giving to God.
And it's such a powerful perspective as people look at their budgets and they say, okay, hey, this is for savings, you know, this is for investing. Imagine having your budget and saying, okay, this is a specific percentage to say, God, who do you want me to give this to? This is my others percentage. God, who do you want me to bless today? With what I have, there's somebody that God has given me this so that I can give to them.
Wow, powerful. When we get right back from this break, we got a special thing we want to talk to you about, how nobody compares to Jesus. Join us in a few.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as He has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste. And you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
In everything that you're hearing today, in all of the news, in all the information that you're getting, understand this. Nothing in this world can remotely come close to Jesus. We know this in our brain, Steve. We know this.
Yep.
But it's not until you experience the person of Jesus, until you receive him into your heart, into your life, and understand why he is called the Prince of Peace. I used to hear that title often, the Prince of Peace, and I thought, oh, that's nice. Until I realized, oh my goodness, he is the peace I was always looking for. We want to show you a special video that was done by John Kilpatrick Ministries. It's gone viral now on Facebook, and it's about nobody compares to Jesus. Watch this.
Nobody even comes close to comparing to Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn by his resurrection of those from the dead. Who shall declare his generation? He is one with us, but he's definitely beyond us. He's great in his nature. His nature is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is divine. He's unique. He's equal with God. He's one with the Father. He filleth all things, yet is not contained by all things. All things were made by him, of him and through him and to him are all things. He is before all things. By him does all things exist. He is God. He is man. He's as truly God as if he were not man, yet completely and perfectly man as if he were not God. He's a perfect man with no stain, no spot, no original sin, no actual sin. He was the perfect, blameless, sinless Son of God. He stands alone, ladies and gentlemen.
No one like Jesus.
Nobody comes close.
Nobody comes close. And you know, you can get so caught up today in so many things that in eternity, Steve, count for so little.
Mm-hmm.
They count for so little. When you could be missing the greatest treasure that the world ever could ever possess, and it's in knowing the one Jesus. So many people today, Steve, are content to know about him.
Right.
And they don't know him.
Big difference.
But you can settle today to say, I want to know him. I want to know him.
You know, it's powerful just as you're saying that and just the awesomeness of who he is. It just reminds me of when he sent his disciples across the sea into the storm. And he knew he controlled everything. And it was in the storm that he revealed that he just spoke peace to the storm. Mm. He is the Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace, you know, we just celebrated Christmas. He is our Redeemer. He is our King. Of his government, there will be no end. And I want to just share with you today that if you're watching today and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, you know, sometimes people try to separate Savior from Lord, but there's no, you know, he's Savior and Lord. He is the Master, the Boss. And your life will never, ever be completely right until you fully accept him into your heart 100%. There is no other way. You can't halfway accept him. You're either all in or you're all out. Someone used to tell me, I'm close. I said, well, close is not in. Close is still way, way out. You can do that today. We want to pray with you. And if you haven't received Jesus into your heart, you can do so right now. Just invite him in and say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord, the Master of my life. I want you to be my very best friend. Listen, we're going to pray for you. We ask you to please pray for us. Lord, we just thank you, God, that we can share your love, your mercy, your grace with our viewers today. Lord, we celebrate Jesus and who he is and what he has done for us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, and those that are watching us today to help make Jesus' name famous in the world. And I love what the Moravians say. May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering. May we endlessly work to make heaven full and hell empty, and so that Jesus can have his reward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
But a conversation, you'll be surprised. You have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up in his head. He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones who go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant.
Ignorant.
And it's a shocker, you know. Doctor, see right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge, it's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And just, it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?